Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Andy Ngo and Lauren Boebert, we talk about the Twitter hearings and more. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Let's play clip 100 from the Twitter hearings yesterday. Play cut 100.
You silenced members of Congress from communicating with their constituents. You silenced me from communicating with the American people over a freaking joke. Election interference? Yeah, I would say that that was taking place because of you four sitting here.
Direct election interference. How do you even get close to justice when an election that is completed and finished was completely tampered with by a company? Who do these people think they are? That's what Lauren Boebert asked. And she joins us now, Congresswoman Boebert from the 3rd Congressional District of Colorado. Welcome back to the program.
Charlie, thanks so much for having me on. And, you know, we're working towards justice in this. And I don't know if we can ever fully get justice. I mean, our country has just been in shambles the past 2 years because of the collusion between the federal government and big tech and so many other things that were taking place. Tens of thousands of ballots mailed out illegally. The list goes on and on, but we certainly are working to get truth out to the American people, truth that was suppressed, that was censored, that was silenced, and we are making sure that the truth is known to the American people so this doesn't ever happen again.
So what did you learn yesterday, if anything? And it's okay if you didn't. I'm just curious. You sat there for a couple hours with these people. Did you learn anything?
I don't think that we learned anything beyond the information that we already had. The witnesses were not answering questions. They were very careful with their questions, with their answers. Obviously, we have Jim Baker, former FBI agent, who's working at Twitter. He's not the only former FBI agent that was employed by Twitter before Elon Musk stepped in. These people are good at crafting their answers and avoiding answers. Many things that were revealed through the Twitter files, even we were asking questions about them, and the four witnesses said that they didn't have any knowledge of these communications that were taking place. Even when I asked Mr. Ross if he had denied any requests by the FBI to communicate things like private information with American citizens, communication data, without going through proper legal channels, he said no. And we have that evidence through emails with Mr. Roth and the FBI. And he actually denied the agents that access to the private citizens' communication data, which I commend that. But why was the FBI even requesting that without going through legal channels? There were multiple meetings set up with FBI agents and Twitter. In fact, there were so many that they set up weekly scheduled meetings to have conversations with Twitter. They took Mr. Roth out to the Aspen Institute in Aspen, Colorado to talk about
their
strategy. It is in my district. Yes, they went straight to my district to have these meetings. And so even the things that we had hard evidence of, the witnesses were not answering correctly or not answering at all. So I think the information that we put out as members of Congress are just another step towards revealing the truth to the American people. Obviously, these are not individuals that should be trusted. They were in collusion with the federal government. I even mentioned to Mr. Baker, who said there was absolutely no collusion between the federal government and big tech. I said, Mr. Baker, you are the collusion. You are the federal government. Okay. This is you connecting your colleagues, your former colleagues, with Twitter.
These four tricksters from Twitter, they understand one thing, which is in order to not answer a question in front of Congress, what is legally permissible as kind of a loophole and a middle ground is the sudden, inexplicable phenomena of amnesia. I don't remember.
Yes.
I don't remember. I don't remember the poor soul who was a congressional staffer that had I don't remember on their bingo card of the drinking game of the Twitter hearings would have to have their stomach pumped. Let's go to Cut 69. Yoel Roth making the case. This is the guy that was in charge of censorship, that censorship actually leads to more speech. You hear that? Censorship is actually free speech. And war is peace. Play Cut 69.
Again and again, we saw the speech of a small number of abusive users drive away countless others. Unrestricted free speech, paradoxically, results in less speech, not more. And it was our job in Trust and Safety to try to strike an appropriate balance. But the importance of this work goes far beyond Twitter's business prospects and into the realm of national security.
And so, Lauren, what he's trying to make an argument, he's reading from pre-written remarks, is that the more we shut people up, the more we speak?
You know, this is part of the left's ideology. Lies are truth. Suppression is freedom. Control is liberty. Men or women, as long as you say you're a minor attracted person, then it's ageism. If you say that you're not allowed to be attracted to a minor, the left has gone so far. And it's because we give in time and time again. Anytime these red flags come up from the left with their policies, with their rhetoric, we need to shut it down at the beginning. They didn't want sensible gun control. They didn't want just regular sex education in our public schools. They want to take it to the extreme. They want American citizens disarmed, so they're no longer citizens. They're subjects. And the federal government has a monopoly on power. It's completely unchecked by the people. They want to go into our public schools and teach our children as young as kindergarten or even preschool about comprehensive sex ed, teaching our children how to have and enjoy same-sex sex, how to teach our children how to pleasure themselves. I mean, 10 years ago, you would have said they would never go this far, but they're here and they're going even further. So this is why this is so important right now. We have a razor-thin majority in the House, but it's still a majority. We have the gavel. We are actually able to have oversight in the House of Representatives. And really, we have to carry the oversight of the Senate as well. There's been no real oversight in Congress for the past 2 years. And really, even beyond that, it was fake Russia hoax that they were playing into. And now, anytime any Democrat gets the mic, the first words out of their mouth are MAGA, Republicans, extremists, January 6th, the end of democracy. And, you know, they have their talking points. And then they tell us to let this little hiccup go. You know, Hunter Biden's laptop, this was just a hiccup that happened in the media that they suppressed this. Whoops, so sorry. It was 24 hours. No, it's much more than that. Citizens couldn't even share this the story in their DMs. In their direct messages on Twitter, private conversations, they were unable to share this story. This is not a hiccup. AOC called the Hunter Biden laptop half-truth. Half-truth. I mean, which I guess you know, we could praise her a little bit for at least acknowledging that there's some truth to it. But come on. I mean, all of this is so ridiculous from the left. And we finally have the gavel to have actual oversight, to bring in our witnesses of choice, bring them in, whether it's under subpoena, whether they're willful, and pepper them with questions to get truth out to the American people. And I'm so excited Amen. That we are able to have this opportunity.
You are doing a wonderful job. Yesterday, it has not even been a month since the speaker election has concluded. I think tomorrow will be officially mm-hmm. 1 month. And look how much is already being done. If this is at least a little bit of a preview, I'm really, really happy, Lauren, with the intensity you brought to the game, the focus. You guys are ready for the big leagues, and it's really, really heartwarming.
We are.
We're finally going to hold these people accountable. Thank you, Lauren, and God bless you.
And really, I do want to say, to Speaker McCarthy's credit, he's doing a fantastic job, and he is holding true to all the commitments that he made. And that's why we're able to be so aggressive and get after this the way we are.
I'm glad you said that, and I agree. He is showing to be a man of his word, and he is allowing the oversight attack dogs loose, and we're going to hold these cockroaches accountable. Thank you, Lauren. God bless you.
Thanks, Charlie. Bye.
This is a new year, and that means you need a new investing strategy. If you are tired of corporations who continue to push their agendas, then you need to speak to my friends at Pax Financial Group. I trust my money with Pax Financial Group, and they are fiduciaries who take pride in the fact that they sincerely honor Christian values. The time is now for you to move your IRA, old 401ks, or other investments to an organization that will respect your values. Check out PaxFinancialGroup.com or simply text Charlie at 74868. Text Charlie to 74868. That is Charlie to 74868. I want to get to this piece of tape here. It's extraordinary. And it was seemingly unrelated to the topic that was at hand, which was the social media companies. But Nancy Mace, who is no movement conservative, let me tell you that. Nancy Mace is very moderate, very moderate. Went on a very revealing tangent yesterday where she said the vaccine, specifically the booster shot, has significantly damaged her health. This is a congresswoman who is not, quote unquote, on the fringe, who is not on the outside. This is a mainstream Republican congressperson that, quite honestly, I have called a rhino before. And I probably still stand by that categorization. Why is that important? This is someone who does not exactly dive into the zeitgeist of Robert Malone and Peter McCullough, right? That's not really the water she swims in, okay? So I actually think this makes her contention even more credible. If there was ever going to be someone who is a pro-vax Republican, it would be her. And I'm asking our team to do this for a separate reason, not to be cruel or to put it in her face, because I actually have sympathy for her, because her honesty takes courage, and I feel really bad for her. But I guarantee you, if we look up either on her congressional Twitter account or her Twitter account, she was probably promoting the vaccine at some point. So if we could find that tweet, again, I have sympathy for her. I just wish she would have listened to us. Nancy Mace, in an extraordinary tape, this should have been everywhere yesterday. This should have been everywhere. She says that her health is now in jeopardy because of the vaccine. Play cut 106.
But I have effects from the vaccine. It wasn't the first shot, but it was the second shot that I now developed asthma that has never gone away since I had the second shot. I have tremors in my left hand, and I have the occasional heart pain that no doctor can explain, and I've had a battery of tests. I find it extremely alarming Twitter's unfettered censorship spread into medical fields and affected millions of Americans by suppressing expert opinions from doctors and censoring those who disagree with the CDC. I have great regrets about getting the shot because of the health issues that I now have that I don't think are ever going to go away. And I know that I'm not the only American who has those kinds of concerns.
And that's an extraordinarily powerful statement. that she wished she would have been able to hear other voices. Well, our podcast was suppressed. We know that. Our Instagram was suppressed. We were talking about it. And praise God, we had you, the audience, that supported us through all of that. We were attacked by everybody. How dare you, you know, for talking about it. And look, I am not doing this as a way to rub it in her face. I'm not doing this as a way as like, oh, I'm glad. No, no, no. But it is a fact. Let's just go back in the time machine, okay? Nancy Mace was encouraging all of her constituents to get the available COVID-19 vaccine to increase their protection against the deadly virus. And I actually say that not as a way to say, oh, Nancy, you should have been smarter, because now she actually has the courage to say, I regret. We all regret things in life. Honestly, God bless you, Nancy Mace, for having the honesty and the integrity for admitting that you made a mistake, and then also pointing to the tech companies that did not give you the ability to hear the full story. I think she actually deserves to be commended for this. And I feel, I actually feel a sense of sympathy, because she was so believing and trusting of medical establishment that she thought, if a doctor says it, there's no way. Can we get that tape that Andrew just cut here? And again, I want to make my position clear, because there are some people that are going to take this and say, oh, look at you. You were promoting it. Now that's the opposite. I actually think it boosts the case and it bolsters it in the case of she has no reason to say this, except for the fact that it's true. And of course, it just doesn't get written up anywhere. You write Nancy Mace into Twitter, into the news engine. And what does it say? Nancy Mace lights up Republicans at press club event. Nancy Mace's Kevin McCarthy's roast leaves D.C. crowd in shock. House member, and it shows all of the ways that Nancy Mace is upset with Republican leadership because they've become too conservative. Not one mention. We have the video. Let's play. We're going to be really close to the break. So we'll do it after the break. I think it's important. We'll do it very briefly after the break. But honestly, I pray for Nancy Mace's health. I'm glad she spoke out on it. It is a tragedy, because there is now an unknown amount of people in America that are going to suffer medically because of bad information that they received. It's really a tragedy. This was Nancy Mace promoting the vaccine. I really feel sorry for her, because now her health has been significantly damaged by it. That's her words, not mine. Play the tape.
Congresswoman Nancy Mace here with an important message. Delta is different. It's highly contagious and spreading very quickly. Getting vaccinated offers you the best protection against severe illness, hospitalization, and even death. Vaccinations are free, they're effective, and they are available. Do your part today, get vaccinated, and wear a mask. Let's all get through this pandemic together.
And so I think that actually adds more credibility to her testimony yesterday, where in her words, I just want to reiterate her take. I have developed asthma. I have occasional heart pain that no doctor can explain. Of course, they can't explain it, because they can't blame the vaccine. And I have great regrets about getting the shot, and tremors in her hand. All of that is consistent with what we hear from other people in the audience, macro, and also precisely consistent with the predictions that Dr. Robert Malone and Dr. Brett Weinstein made in April of 2021. They said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have a lot of myocarditis, a lot of pericarditis. Peter McCullough said it, and like clockwork, it's manifesting itself all across the country. Pierre Corey. And isn't that the scientific method? You have a hypothesis, and then unfortunately it's now been tested. And it's not like all of a sudden people are having unrelated, like, nausea symptoms and all this. But the New York Times says we're the purveyors of disinformation, right? Yeah, right. How dare you notice and ask questions, citizen? It's perfectly normal to have tremors in your hand and heart pain and asthma. We don't know what caused it, but it's certainly not the thing. Whatever it is, it's not the thing. You can't mention the thing and go get the next round of the thing. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but that when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow Towels, towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing, towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set that includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $49.99 with promo code Kirk. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set off MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Check it out right now. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Joining us now is Andy Ngo, great fighter for liberty and freedom. Andy, welcome to the program. Walk us through the latest news with your Twitter account.
Hi, Charlie. Thanks for having me on. Well, most of your listeners may have heard of me because of my reporting on Antifa. I do that in news writing, and a lot of it actually happens through tweets. I break a lot of stories on my Twitter. And one of the projects that I have ongoing is that I document violent extremist far-left accounts that organize openly on Twitter. I mean, this was part of the apparatus that caused 2020 to be so successful in violent riots across the U.S. is because a lot of the riots were organized on Twitter. So as part of my primary evidence gathering, I screenshot the original tweets. I link to them, these extremist tweets, and I post it so that people can see this is what is on this platform live and active now. You know, it's not me editorializing it. You mm-hmm. can see it for yourself. And for that, I had I opened up the app on Tuesday night, and suddenly I was locked out. Said that I had violated a rule, and then it wouldn't say what rule. It was empty. So I found out. I saw that people were letting me know, hey, if you go on my wall, tweet after tweet is just being, this tweet has violated the rules. And everything I had posted the last couple of days has been related to like Antifa and screenshots of what they say and what they say they will do. For example, that just an hour before I was locked out, I posted about Antifa's calls to violently attack the TPUSA University mm-hmm. of Oregon campus event. And that was one of the tweets that was affected. So the current head of Twitter Trust and Safety in some of her public statements on Twitter said that by screenshotting these posts that I was amplifying the threats of violence and was preventing Twitter from being able to minimize or prevent mm-hmm. harm. Now, look, you know, I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. There's no one-size-fits-all solution to, you know, when you have issues like this on Twitter. However, I am of the view that bringing attention to these tweets doesn't amplify the threat. It actually nullifies it because, one, the public is informed. Two, potentially law enforcement. You know, I have 1.1 million followers. Three, the targets of that violence or threats is also made aware. And she suggested, the Twitter trust and safety head said, well, you know, the threats can be redacted. But then if that's, you know, if the posts are censored, then the threat can be downplayed. I could be accused of being manipulating the evidence. And then it would also give the far left another excuse mm-hmm. that it's not really as bad as I say. So, I mean, there was, you know, among supporters such as yourself and other conservatives brought attention to what happened to me. And within a day, my account was unlocked. Those posts were restored. But it seems like the new policy going forward based on her tweets is that journalists like myself is going to have to make that editorial decision to censor certain aspects. And I wrote a report for the Post-Millennial outlining that it's not actually quite clear cut what to censor sometimes. For example, many of these calls to violence will say something like, you know what to do, and then they'll post an address of, let's say, a business, let's say Pregnancy Resource Center. Okay, one, the address of that business is public, so it's not a private type thing. Would I censor the name of the charity or the nonprofit, what would I censor there? Or sometimes they don't even say anything. They'll use emojis like the toy gun emoji, the fire emoji, the brick emoji. So this is what I mean when now that I am being people like myself who's bringing attention to violent extremism is being punished. Whereas some of these tweets, by the way, the original ones that were making the threats were still online, whereas I was locked out. That's the irony here.
Andy Ngo is an investigative journalist at the Post Millennial, and Post Millennial does a wonderful job. You guys have got to check it out. Author of Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. And you could follow him at Andy-Ngo, that is NGO.com. Let's play cut 108 of Antifa disrupting our Turning Point USA event at the University of Oregon in Eugene, Oregon. Play cut 108.
We don't want this on our college campuses. You are miseducating the people. But when you come in here, and you lie about the way that our society should be, when you come in here and you spread this type of shit, it's what makes these generals bad.
Look, you want to play the game? Let's play the game, baby. Let's play the game.
I'm not here to play the game. I'm here to disrupt. You got to understand that.
Are you not trying to shut down my voice?
Yes, that's the point of me being here.
Are you supposed to uplift black voices? Let me hear.
Not in every situation.
So what you heard there is two black conservatives, Stephen Davis and Anthony Watson, who are part of the Turning Point USA team, being shouted down by masked white liberals at the University of Oregon in Eugene because two black conservatives dare would have a different opinion. But the white liberals, of course, want to control black people again. A lot of liberals want to go back to slavery. They just won't admit it. So, Andy, why is this not exactly, you know, why is this even a question on the modern Twitter? Have you seen Twitter improve at all since Elon took it over?
In some regards, you know, I brought a lot of attention to some of these violent extremist accounts by doing the thing that I was just punished for. And some of those accounts, really high profile extremist accounts, actually subsequently got banned after I brought attention, you know, brought out the receipts. They said this. This is where you can find those posts. And they were suspended. But then this seems like a big, you know, step backwards now with this new rule. And, you know, I just wanted to weigh in a little bit on what you just said. These aren't these radical militant leftists are not liberals. This is the, I think the mistake is that liberals have as well, is that they think that these Antifa are allies with them. And strategically, they do use them sometimes as
shock
foot soldiers to carry out, exactly, shock troops to carry out violence. But if you, as I write in my book and have talked about extensively, the project of Antifa is the overthrow of the rule of law of the United States, of the nation state, period, which would destroy, obviously, the Democrat Party, liberal, mainstream establishment as well. So they're playing a really dangerous game here because, you know, they see, I think, a temporary benefit in that, you know, these shock troops can shut down through violence or intimidation or, you know, just disruption the right. But this is a very dangerous game. And there's, you know, some historical precedent for in history and other places where these militants have been used and it actually, you know, benefits like extremist elements. A lot of times with what Antifa does is that they create the enemies they say they're out there to fight. They actually are a radicalizing element. This is the thing that people don't quite understand, is that when people see over and over that these extremists can, in some jurisdictions in America, carry out violence against American citizens, it creates a reaction where people want to form their own groups or like, you know, sort of like militia type groups. And it just, it's an escalation of political violence on the streets. And yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of that organizing takes place on Twitter, which I try my best to illuminate, and I'm not quite sure exactly how to do that going forward now.
Andy, thank you for your great work. Check out Andy-Ngo and check out his book. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you.
We're getting a lot of emails about friend of this program and great American patriot James O'Keefe. I'll be very honest, I'm just as much in the dark on this as many of you are. I know a little bit more that I'm not totally at liberty to say with some private conversations there. But let me just kind of go through what we know publicly. If you haven't heard about the story, you probably soon will. Yesterday, the New York Magazine, not the New York Post, New York Magazine reported that the board of directors for Project Veritas voted to put James O'Keefe on two-week leave. That then snowballed into rumor mill and Twitter conversations into potentially saying that James O'Keefe was being pushed out permanently of Project Veritas. I'm not sure if that has been substantiated, but that certainly feels as if what is happening here. I received probably 10 phone calls on this topic as if I had some sort of inside information. I don't. I can say, though, that the people that I'm talking about in the universe of Project Veritas are saying that some of the stuff on Twitter is actually very accurate, some of it's not. We're going to talk a little bit about this because I do have some concern that just sending James O'Keefe out to pasture after all he's done for our movement, I think we should be slow to do that. And so I don't know all the details. You don't know all the details. I will say, though, James O'Keefe is a friend of mine, so I'm very biased. I defend my friends, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that bias. And I'm loyal, and I've been in this fight with James for 10 years. I've been fighting with James, not with James, alongside James of this stuff. He's been doing it a different way than I have, but we've probably been at, I have no exaggeration, we've probably been at 100 events together, donor events and conferences and all this sort of stuff. And so I'm told, at least by some of the people I'm communicating with, that, oh, there's more to this story and you're going to find out. And we can't talk about it. And there's all this stuff about James. And it's like, okay, well, what is that? Why are you kicking him out of his own organization? I mean, I'm all ears. And so, look, it's a tragedy. This now has to be decided in the public eye. As someone who started an organization from nothing, very similarly, almost simultaneously, by the way, as O'Keefe started his, I can tell you that these things don't happen overnight. And you put a lot of work into it, and you travel 330 days a year. James certainly has. And you have to raise money, and you have to communicate with donors, and you have to hire staff, and you have to accomplish metrics, and you just pour your everything into it. And so then the Daily Beast came out with a story saying, well, James O'Keefe is mean to his staff, and that he mismanaged money. And their example of mismanaging money was quite honestly, it was not a really strong one. It's that he had his team come with him when he did some sort of production for Oklahoma. He's a musical guy, that not exactly my thing, but it's his thing, and they spent $20,000 on it, apparently. And like that's an excess benefit. It's not exactly something that I would. I mean, you figure that out in a board meeting. You say, don't do it again, and you repay it. And by the way, they even reported it as an excess benefit. So then James had to pay tax on that, just so we're clear. So that had to be added to his tax return. I mean, $20,000. And by the way, it's not like James went to Barbados. He was going to this production of Oklahoma. And if I remember correctly, he was also promoting Project Veritas through all that. So it could be justified as a business expense. Seems somewhat murky in the middle, but that's the reason. Maybe there's more. And then I'm being told by some people in the circle of Project Veritas, there's so much more to the story and you're going to learn about it. And I was like, yeah, okay. But look, I happen to be in a spot where I know what it takes to build something big. I didn't do it alone. It takes a team. We have an amazing team here. Tyler, Andrew, the whole team's worked their tail off for a decade. And I hate to see this stuff kind of be aired publicly, but we can't lose James O'Keefe. Let me just say that again. We can't lose James O'Keefe. And this is right after one of the great journalistic accomplishments, probably the greatest in O'Keefe's career, the Pfizer videos. Pfizer video, James O'Keefe put on two-week paid leave. So I'm told repeatedly, there's more to the story. You're going to learn more to the story. There's more to the story. I can't say it. I'm all NDA'd up. And I'm all ears, and I'm sure you guys are too. But I sure hope this is not a power grab against James, because that would be really bad. And they say, well, James is abusive to staff and all this. Look, He might be intense. He might be tough on people and hard on people. All this stuff should just be handled privately. Or no one's perfect, okay? No one operates. If all men were angels, government would not be necessary. Just read Federalist 51. I do think it's disappointing that all this now has to be kind of resolved on Twitter and board fights and all this, and we should just take a step back, and this is my opinion on this, and say, in the last decade, has James O'Keefe earned not just the benefit of the doubt? Because I don't know, maybe James O'Keefe yelled at somebody or what. It doesn't bother me. Honestly, I have a thick skin with that stuff. That's not the point. The point is, over a decade of sacrifice and toil and work and commitment, shouldn't we just kind of press pause and say, let's try to figure this out to empower James O'Keefe to be able to expose more deeds of darkness? Maybe there's something I'm missing, because they say, oh, there's all this stuff and you'll find out. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't like it. And I'm guessing many of you agree with me, and I'd love your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. So that is where we are at with this story. I'm going to be covering it as closely as I possibly can. James remains a friend of mine and somebody that I really respect. He's very special, and boy, does he have the weight of the world on his shoulders without this. Raided by the FBI, all this stuff, and I don't like that he has to deal with this. And I hope you guys stand with him too. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.